Eden by Jim Crace. Read by Ben Allen. Chapter 1. Their angel summons them. Three beak strikes on the clapper of the orchard bell mean that everyone nearby should set aside whatever tools they're working with or end their prayers at once and hurry to the trees, where he is waiting with that oddity, a corpse. Of course, they have encountered death before, with shrews and beetles, say, with worms and moths, with fish. Small creatures without souls cannot expect, as can the garden's human habitants, to live eternally. But still, a lifeless body is a jolt. It reminds the labourers what great fortunes they enjoy, fruitful and well-watered, if only they obey. They'll breathe forever without cares, they'll be provided for, they'll have no fears, if only they obey. The body is a bird's, one of the many jacks that choose to gather in the nuttery's branching domes at dusk to air and share their grievances. Nobody counts the jacks as friends, but they are at least companions during both labour and devotions. They mark the start and end of day with their self-proclaiming cries, jack chat, protesting when the sun comes up, protesting when it sinks. But now it's just the middle of the afternoon in this high-growing corner of the Lord's estate, and, as instructed by the angel in his tousled blue plumage, the gardeners stare down at the body of the jack and decide which one it is specifically, which malcontent. Isn't this the bird whose wing never sat quite flat against its side, but elbowed out a gawky branch? They've noticed it was snagged and damaged, but how and where that damage came about, they do not know. How could they know? Like every flying creature in their realm, excepting angels and probably the wrens, which are the garden's timid stop-at-homes, it must have ranged beyond the walls into the world, with all its perilous varieties, too many times not to have discovered the habits of caution. Out there, a jack has many things to fear. The boys, their sticks, their catapults, the falcon and the hawk, netting traps and glue snares, poison bait, all sorts of cats, the cooking pot, the ticks and lice and feather mites that plague most birds, a drought, a fire, a pestilence, the arrow and the spear, weasels with their appetites for eggs or chicks, feather hunters, snakes. What is there not to fear out there? But often, in the orchard, in the age-protected shelter of their trees, the gardeners have noticed this one many times, burdened by its injury, clumsy to the view, and so unlike its neat and jaunty brethren. Unhappy Jack, they think, as they stoop closer to its corpse. It was too briefly cursed with life. How death has whitened its eyes. Just yesterday they were as quick and silver as a snake's. Flies have already settled at its bloody beak. There is movement only in its feathers, which lift with the breeze, not greatly different from the feathers on the living angel's wings, listless when they're not reflecting light. There is an angel they know. He oversees the stock pond, chirping out his orders to the fish, whose heart-side wing is damaged to the same degree as the jack's. He's a malcontent as well, though more so than any bird could ever be. That injured wing is punishment, he understands, for disobedience, for taking flight, for straying where he shouldn't stray, beyond the girdle of their enclosures to where dwell those outcast